I listened to those testimonies tonight, and I enjoyed them. But I do need to let you know, I got more out of those years than you did. God did a work in me in those times. Because while I may have been older, that didn't mean I was wiser. I may have studied longer, but it doesn't mean I'd learned that much. And they were precious years. Hard for me to imagine, because I asked the youth pastor a long time. They had a Sunday morning youth group, then they had a Saturday night youth group. And I said, which service are you getting the most teenagers along to attend? And he thought a little bit, and he said, Sunday night preaching service. Don't we have a great God? And you know what? He wants to work in your life. And what He wants to do is marvelous. Most people I meet are not really happy with the way their life is and what they have on the inside and all that. I have news for you. God has a program to correct that. And it's called circumstances and the Word of God. Says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And most people stop quoting right there, but have you ever noticed a half quote is not a correct quote? I mean, I know a scripture that says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Of course, the next verse said that that's what a fool said. The next verse says, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen? It works kind of like this. This isn't my message, but a potter takes the clay, puts a little pressure inside, a little pressure outside, and he molds into a vessel. I wonder what a one-handed potter would do. God uses outside circumstances on the outside. Holy Spirit working inside to mold us into His image. Cooperate with it. Don't fight it. Embrace it. Now that has nothing to do with my message tonight. Thankfully, Bobby Buren or Gifford, none of them got on my subject tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we come all the way down to verse 11. Actually, we need to read verse 10. It says, for to whom ye forgive anything, forgive also. I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sake, forgive it, that forgive it in the person of Christ. And then he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And I read that, and I thought, yep, we're not ignorant of his devices. Okay, what is his devices? How is he going to work? You know, every one of you would have no trouble with temptation at all if the devil shows up one day. Hello, I'm your local devil. I came around to tempt you. We'd know how to respond. Amen? But I hate to tell you this, that's not the way the devil's going to come at you. Well, how is he going to come at you? Well, I'm glad you asked. Genesis chapter 3 introduces us to the devil. And in the Word of God, there is a bit of a principle that when God introduces a subject, he will define the subject at that introduction. And in that, we're going to look to see if we can detect Satan's device. And so we're going to read about four verses here. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruits of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die." So here we find Satan, and really Satan is after Adam. But he's not talking to Adam. He's talking to somebody that can influence Adam. So Satan comes along, he's addressing Eve and not Adam, and he's going to lie to Eve. But then there's a verse of scripture in the book of James, chapter 2, and verse 11, that says that God will not tempt any man, but everyone is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lust. Now, if Satan is going to get Eve to fall for his lies, because he's a good con man, and, you know, have you ever noticed con men can get people to believe lies that are totally ridiculous? Pretty shrewd, aren't they? Now, how is the Satan going to get Eve to believe his lie? Well, according to the book of James, lust has to precede the temptation. Isn't that what the verse said? And so how is Satan going to do it? Well, if we go back and look what Satan says first, we begin to get a bit of an idea there. It says, "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, I've got a question. Did Satan know what God had said? Did Eve know what God had said? What good is the question? And the answer is quite simple, because I'm trying to make shorten this message if I can. Satan must get Eve to lust for the fruit if she is going to believe his lie. Now, when Satan does tempt her and the temptation is presented, guess what? He hits her on all three points: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Pretty to look at, lust of the eye. good for food, lust of the flesh, make you wise, like God, knowing good and evil. And it almost carries with it the concept, Eve, God's holding out on you. He doesn't want you to be like He is. He doesn't want you to know good and evil. He wants you to be dependent on Him. And if He told Eve that, there's elements of truth in it. Not total truth, but elements of truth in it. And as we look at the question that Satan proposes to Eve, there's not a whole lot wrong with it. I mean, he isn't lying to her at this point. He's asking her a question. And Eve answers, and obviously Eve is going to do some contemplating about that question, because when she answers Satan, he says, we're not to eat of the fruit of the tree. But she didn't stop there. That's what God said. She said, neither shall you touch it. And Eve was kind of a fundamentalist. You know, they tend to add just a little bit of, but wait a minute. If God said not eat it, wouldn't it be a good idea not to touch it? Amen. But the problem was, God didn't say it. Now you see why I said she was a fundamentalist. They tend to add a little bit of their precautions and treat them as though they are God's word. And the danger of that is that when she did touch it, she didn't die. What? Because that wasn't what God said. What God said, you can't eat it. So Eve is now contemplating the question that Satan proposes. And let me reduce it down and move on pretty quick. You know what Satan was doing? And he's the same, going to use the same thing on you. He is going to ask a question that will get Eve to focus on what she could not have, or what she did not have. Amen? Now, is there anything wrong with focusing on it? Well, in itself, it is not anything if you focus on it and that's the end of it. But if that focus leads to desire to do something, to bring about having that something you don't have, it may be sex, it may be possessions, it may be position in a company, it may be many other things, but they focusing on what we don't have can lead to lust. I want it. I want it even if I have to do a little underhanded practices to get it. Oh, but the danger of the Bible says, in the Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it does what? Bringeth forth sin. Now, once Eve begins to lust, she wants it. Amen? How does con men get people to believe their lies? Real simple. They tell them something that they want to hear. They tell them something they do want. Amen? Pretty good con. And so, What is the answer? We need to be aware that when Satan starts showing us things we don't have, friendship with that person we don't have, position in the company we don't have, maybe a position at church that we don't have, right then's when the Bible says, there is no temptation taking you but such is common unto man. But he will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. But you know what? The easiest escape is when you see the first stop sign, not the third or fourth one. Right then is when we need to go to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, that apple looks good, but you said don't eat it. I choose to believe what you said. And by the way, faith is a choice. I choose to believe what you said, and I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to allow it to become lust. Now, do we know if something begins to become lust in us? Why, of course we do. We begin to think about it. Walk around that car, new car, kick the tires. I don't know why we kick tires, but kick the tire. Open the door, smell that new car smell. Anything wrong with the car? No. Unless we have to go outside of God's provision for us to get it. And so if we have to go outside, we know, because we have to start kind of scheming and planning and what we're allowing desire to grow into lust. Because lust is simply wanting something that's outside of God's provision in your life. And so how do you deal with it? Lord, I know you haven't provided that for me. So I choose to trust you to take that desire away. Right then, just, all right, Lord, take it away. And if you haven't been entertaining that idea for 2 or 3 months already, usually it's gone, but if you've been entertaining it for 2 or 3 months, guess what? It's kind of etched in pretty deep. But we still need to go to the Lord. Because God's way of escape is the first time we're aware of Satan's devices. Now, what is his device? To get us to focus on what we don't have so that we will start growing to lust after what we don't have. Now you know of Satan's device. He's not going to knock on your door and say, hello, I'm your local devil, I'm here to tempt you. He may even work on someone that's close to you to bring you in to the picture. And here's the sad thing in it. You see, do you know why God blames Adam for the fall and not Eve? She ate first. Real simple. Eve was honestly deceived. That's what the Bible says. Adam wasn't. Adam chose, knowing he was violating God's law, knowing to eat would mean spiritual death. Well, why did Adam make such a choice? None of you young men or women are ever going to have that problem, but there was Eve. Was he going to go with her, or was he going to stay with God? Ooh, man, that romantic bug bites hard. Amen? We can only imagine what God's plan for this age would be had Adam not sinned. Now, I was asked as a quite a young Christian, why did God even make us when he knew we would fall? I thought that was a pretty fair question. He was by a lost man. He wasn't saved. He asked the question. And in my youthfulness and not knowing, God gave me the answer. Have you ever read in Scripture where it says that God is love? He not only loves, he is love. Amen? When you fall in love with someone, what do you want in return? To be loved. Amen? Now let's picture Adam and Eve walking out here on the eve, nice moonlight night, soft breeze, no rain. And Adam turns to Eve and says, Eve, you're the only woman on earth for me. Now, love has to have a choice. Because without a choice, there's no real love. And God allowed the fall, created a Savior to bring us to Jesus Christ. So we could choose to love our God. So we could choose to put Him above everything else in our life. Now we know how the devil's going to attack us. We know God's answer. Now all we have to do is choose to do what God says. Brother Mario.